what great promise, amen, and all because Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin, amen. We can look forward to eternity with our Savior. We can look forward to eternity being reunited with those who've gone before, as that song said, all because of Christ. Much to thank Him for, much to praise Him for, and much to worship Him for, amen. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Job chapter 1, please. Job chapter 1. I like talking about the Lord. I like meditating and thinking about and talking about all that the Lord has done for us. You ought to be joyful. It's a good day, amen, to worship the Lord. All right, Job chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught or for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." We've been just considering some thoughts through the book of Job, and we'll probably stay here for a few more weeks at least, kind of jumping around back and forth, I know. But nonetheless, there are some important truths that can be gained and gleaned from the book of Job related to the Christian life. The book of Job has been said to be the oldest book of the Bible. Some people say that. It's said that the days of Job were probably around the time of Abraham, because, and they say that because when you study through the book, you don't ever find mention of the tabernacle. You don't find mention of Israel. You don't find mention of the temple or the law or anything else like that. You do find mention of sacrifice, though. But some say that it's was before the time of the nation of Israel because of this. Obviously, you know the story of Job, and the object of the book of Job is really to set the life and the trial of this upright man in plain view. Job did not know that he was going to be used of God to be an object lesson for you and for me today. You find, as we read in this first chapter here, that there's this dialogue that's going on between God and Satan. There's this conference that's taking place. Job doesn't know anything about that event. He doesn't know what's going on, but Job's life is about to change, and change dramatically. And there's some great value in that for us, because it reveals to us that there is a spiritual world, and there are forces that are at work against the saints of God. Last week we considered Job's adversary, and we considered the attack of the adversary against Job and his life, and we considered the fact that all of God's people who will live godly in Christ Jesus, they're going to suffer persecution in this world, but they're also going to be marked for the attack of the devil, because the devil wants to rob God of glory, and he does that through the lives of the saints of God. If he can keep God's people from giving honor to the Lord, then he gains a victory. The truth was, though, that Job didn't know anything about this. Job didn't know anything about this conference that was going on, or that his life was going to be used as an object lesson. But there is a lot of truth to be gleaned for the Christian life through the life of Job. Along with that, there are some great representations of characters in this book. We know Job himself, he's could be representative of the servant of God. Of course, there's Satan, who is the adversary. There were Job's friends. We'll talk about them in the next weeks ahead. They could be representative of the wisdom of this world. Remember Eliphaz trying to explain to Job exactly why this is all happening to him? And all the things that he said concerning God were true, but he was wrong in his application to Job, using the wisdom of this world or human wisdom. We could look at Elihu, who could be representative of the wisdom of God. He was the messenger of God. Of course, God himself, the judge of all, we considered a few weeks ago, Job chapter 38 through 42, and the awesomeness of God. What happens when God speaks? Remember that? All of these things are just powerful truths, reminders, illustrations, examples for the saints of God today. And there's some great truth to be uncovered in these verses here as well. Our text is centered around the person of Job. And I want to point out some real valuable truth that we can apply to our own life as we consider the character of Job in this chapter. And that is the title of the message this afternoon, The Character of Job. Let's look again here in verse 1. The first thing that we find about Job and his character is that the Bible says that he was perfect. Verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. What a commentary for a person's life. Amen? I mean, think about that. What would the commentary be on your life, Kara? First of all, she's not a man. Okay? But what would the commentary be on your life? The commentary here was that Job was perfect. He was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. The word perfect means complete in mental or moral character. Think about that. Job was a man who was complete in mental or moral character. The Bible says that he was upright. That means straight. It means just. Job was a just man, fair in his dealings, honest. The Bible says that he feared God. He had reverence for the one true God, and he eschewed evil. The word eschewed means to turn off. It means to rebel. It means to withdraw and hate. So he was a man who turned off evil. He rebelled against evil. He withdrew from it. He hated it. Could we say the same thing? As a man, he was all that he could be in holiness and in character. For a sinful person, he was all that he could be. And the description, listen, and here's the cool part. The description of his character was not from other men. It was from God. This was God's description. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 said, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. That's God's commentary on Job's life. What is God's commentary on yours? Job was not perfect in the sense of being sinless. There's no such thing as sinless perfection in our flesh, but in the sense of being complete in moral character, completely devoted to God, completely devoted to righteousness. Let me make an application here, because we're considering the character of Job and applications for you and for me. I want you to think about that for just a second. Is it possible to be perfect in this sense, complete in moral character, mental and moral character? He was perfect. Is it possible for you and for me, for saints of God, to be perfect in this sense? Have you ever thought what it would be like to be complete in the Christian life? I mean, if you're honest, you have some you're conscientious about Christian living and about pleasing God and living a godly life. If you're honest, you're going to find that you struggle and you have a battle in front of you, and sometimes it is weary, and sometimes we get frustrated, and sometimes we just get fed up with me, with this flesh. I mean, if you're not conscientious about Christian living, if you are not controlled by the Spirit of God, you're controlled by your flesh, then you probably don't give much thought to it. Shame on you if that's the case. But as a saint of God who wants to please the Lord, is it possible to be perfect, to be complete? Have you thought about what that would be like in the Christian life? Well, the fact of the matter is, folks, that God has put us in a place and given us the tools to accomplish that very thing in our Christian life. You have the privilege, we have the privilege of being a part of a New Testament church, a place where God gets glory, the house of God, the place of God's holiness, a house of prayer, the place where the Word of God is spoken. We get that privilege. God's given us His Word and all kinds of other tools. He's given us the tools to do that very thing. Let's just consider for a few moments what the Bible says about being perfect. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All right, so he's got all of these things that Scriptures are profitable for doctrine. It teaches us what we need to believe. We need to be corrected. There's reproof and correction. We need instruction in righteousness. All of those things we need, the Word of God is there for. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God gave us His Word so that we could be complete in mental and moral character. Amen? How much time do you give to this book? How much do you love God's Word, saint of God? Really? Let's just take a moment and be honest, okay? With ourselves. How much time does this book spend sitting closed on a shelf? And how much time does this book spend being opened where we dig in? Pause, Selah. Let it sink in. God gave us the Word of God that the man of God may be perfect, complete in moral and mental character, truly furnished unto all good works. Listen, if we don't let this book influence our life, it's impossible to be complete. If we don't let this book influence our life beyond that of salvation, what a shame when God's given us the tools. Look over with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? So Paul says, we're talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul says, I'm working and striving in myself. to be perfect in Christ Jesus. He says, but we preach Christ and we warn every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Listen, each week you come to church, this book is opened, it is preached. Jesus Christ is exalted. Jesus Christ is preached. Listen, how much time do you give to diligently applying the truth of God's Word that when it's preached? What does James teach us considering the things of God? We're to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. If we are just hearers and we're not applying, we're deceiving our own selves. Lying to ourselves. You've heard me say it 100 times probably, if you've heard me say it once, concerning truth. Apply, 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 apply. Amen? What good does head knowledge do if it's not applied in the life? Our life ought to be transforming and changing from day to day, week to week, more into the image of Christ, leading to completeness. Amen? And mental or moral character. We've got the Scriptures. We've got the preaching of God's Word in a New Testament church. Look at James chapter 1. If that weren't enough, we're considering what the Bible says concerning being perfect. James chapter 1, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we've got the Word of God, we've got preaching of Christ, we've got all of those things. If that weren't enough, the Lord allows and brings other things into our life, like trials, that produce patience in our life. And so patience, when it has its complete work, will make us complete and entire, wanting nothing. Patience through trials, seeing God's hand even in the midst of hard things. Listen, the trials help us to become of full age, to be mature saints of God, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he says, entire. You know what that word means? It means complete in every part, perfectly sound in the whole body. Is it possible to be perfect? God's given us the tools. God's given us all that we need so that we can be complete in mental and moral character, that you may be perfect and entire, complete in every part, perfectly sound in whole body. And then he says, wanting nothing, lacking in nothing. Job, according to God, was a perfect man, complete. If all of these tools are given to us, the Bible speaks of it as a possibility for the saints of God. Really, it's not a matter of is it possible. What it's a matter of is who's really in control in the life. Because it's God's will for us to be conformed into the image of His Son, who is perfect. Amen? It's really a matter of who's in control. When we're utilizing the tools, we're going to find ourselves drawing close to the Lord, loving the Lord more and more, thereby yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God and His will and His control in the life, which is what produces completeness. Look at James 3 in verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. The Bible says that Job was a man who was complete in mental or moral character. He was upright in his life. He was honest and straight and just. He was a man that eschewed evil. He turned it off. He rebelled, withdrew. He hated evil. Job was perfect or complete. But you know what Job didn't have? That we have? The completed Scriptures. He didn't have the completed Scriptures at his disposal. When that which is perfect is come, when that which is complete is come, it's the Scriptures. and the truth of God. Listen, you think about this, and you think about the fact that Job was all of these things. He didn't have the same tool, and we do. What character did Job have? But then it makes me think, what's my excuse? You with me? Job was a perfect man. We're talking about the character of Job. Go back with me to our text there in Job chapter 1. How are you doing, saint of God? Are you growing more and more into a perfect man? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Are you utilizing the tools that God has given you? Is there change that's happening in your life day by day, drawing closer to the Lord? I can guarantee you this. If you don't spend time in this book, if you're not invested in your daily life, you're not growing. You're not moving forward. You're not gaining ground. If this book sits on the shelf, you don't pick it up except for once or twice maybe in the week, and of course when you come to church. You know, I've used the illustration before. Where's my Bible? I'm going to go to church. Where did that thing go? Oh, okay, yeah, here it is. Got to blow the dust off of it because it hasn't been used. Friend, you're not growing. It's God's will for the saints of God to become like Jesus Christ, a complete, perfect man. Go back to, you're probably there, I closed my Bible when it needs to be open. Job 1, and look at verse 3. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. The second thing we look at here is that Job not only was a perfect man, but Job was a blessed man. Verse 3 gives a very good description of what his life was like. He had the blessings of God on his life and on his substance. Verse 10 said, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Job was a blessed man. Not because of being special, but because he honored and feared the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, saint of God, anytime we yield ourselves in obedience to God with a pure heart, we're going to be blessed of the Lord too. God promised that very thing. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. All right, look at verse 7. "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of the cattle, the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Here, this promise certainly is given to the nation of Israel. But you know what? These same principles apply to the children of God. The same principles are found for us. Even look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Look in verse 10, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your grounds, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what? When we obey the Lord and we apply Bible principle and we're obedient to God in His Word, we have the blessing of God. God says in regard to the tithe, you know, prove me to see if I won't pour you out a blessing. What else am I going to do? I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. You ever had that happen where, you know, you're going along in life and the boiler breaks down in your house and then you got to get that fixed, and then all of a sudden your car breaks down and you got to go get that fixed and it's not working, and then all your snow machines and four-wheelers and toys all start to break down, and it's just like you're bleeding money, you know, to fix all of these things. Man, that's the devourer! God says when you're obedient, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. See if I won't pour you out a blessing. I'm telling you, the principles apply, is what I'm saying. God promised those things. Remember Joseph? Man who loved the Lord. Man who wouldn't sin against God in face of temptation. What did the Bible say concerning him? That whatever he did, God made to prosper. He had the blessing of God on him. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Look at Psalm 1. Here is obedience again to the book of the law, and then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Psalm 1 in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who? Who's going to prosper? Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. He's strong like a tree. He's prosperous. The common ingredient in all of these things is simply obedience to God and His Word. Following after, giving ourselves to the truth of God. You know, that doesn't mean that we're going to be rich in material things necessarily, but certainly rich in spiritual blessings. Amen? Someone might say, well, it doesn't really seem like God's blessing me. Why isn't the Lord blessing me? Well, number one, you are blessed beyond what you deserve. We all are. But number two, you don't find that the Lord is blessing you. Maybe you're not following these principles of blessing in your life. One thing that I want to notice about Job's character is that even though Job was very, very wealthy and blessed of the Lord, we don't ever get the impression or the sense that Job had trust in his riches. Note what he said in chapter 1. After all of this calamity in his life. Verse 21, here's Job speaking, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job's trust wasn't in his riches and his wealth and his prosperity. It was in the Lord. But let me say this to you, friend. How easy is it to get our eyes off the Lord when we are blessed beyond what we deserve? Our eyes get onto material things. Our eyes get onto our life and what we have or what we don't have, what we wish we had, all of those things. So easy to get our eyes off of the Lord. This is simply a description even of Job's character. He was blessed of God because he feared the Lord. He honored the Lord. He had all kinds of wealth and so on, but his trust wasn't in his riches. His trust was in the Lord. A good way to make the blessing of God cease in our own life is just to get our eyes off of the Lord and onto the temporal things. I want you to see, thirdly, Job was also a wise man. Chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." This is talking of the sacrifice here that Job made is in the context of his sons and their parties. Look back in verse 4, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them." So that's the context of in the feasting going on in verse 5. "It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them." So this sacrifice by Job was in the context of his sons and their parties, but it was the wrong kind of parties that these guys were having. The word feasted here is a Hebrew word that means the act of drinking. Note some words here. In verse 4, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses." It's the word for the act of drinking. But note another word, "everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them." That word drink is the Hebrew word that means to imbibe. It means to be drunk. What kind of party were they having? You see that? It seems from the context here that Job's sons didn't really seem to have any kind of spiritual priority at all. They were always wanting to be entertained and have their parties. We read in verse 4 that everyone had their day. They sent and called for their sisters to come and eat and drink with them. Verse 5, "And when it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone." Look at verse 13 of this same chapter. "There was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." Man, they're always partying. It doesn't seem as though they had any kind of spiritual priority at all. They were wanting to be entertained. They were wanting their parties. Notice how we said in verse 5, it was the days of their feasting. Verse 13, where we read, where there was a day when they were eating and drinking. It's the same word there that's used that means to imbibe, to be drunk. What were they drinking? They were drinking wine. That word is effervescence, intoxication. That's the meaning of the word. What kind of parties were these guys having? Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." So he offered sacrifice. And this he did continually. Now, I don't know if this is an indication of the heart condition of Job's sons, which might be a reflection on Job as a father when they were younger. If there was a rub on Job, maybe this is it right here. I don't know. But in any case, his sons are adult men. His sons are accountable for themselves and responsible for themselves. But Job was still very concerned about their spiritual condition, even though they were grown. And so he does some intervening here. And he offers sacrifice. And the Bible doesn't say that Job forbid his sons from having their parties. But I would imagine if Job was a perfect man, an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, I would imagine that with an understanding of the human heart and the sinfulness of it, I would imagine he must have warned his sons about the potentials and the moral dangers connected with that kind of living. But let me make an application here. A couple of them. First of all, there's a danger. Young people, single adults, there's a danger in this kind of a spirit. Always wanting to party. Always wanting to be entertained. Always wanting to have fun. Always planning parties, existing from one fun thing to the next. And not having spiritual priorities. There's a real danger here. You know, you see this. Parents, if you're wise, you'll be watching. But you see it even in small children, this tendency. It's a natural tendency of the flesh. You know, the kids want to have fun. They want to play. They want to do all that. But they don't ever want to work. Right? Oh, I want to have fun. What are we doing tonight? What kind of fun thing are we doing tonight? Hey, we're not doing anything. Oh. Are you with me? We connecting? If there's that kind of thing going on, parent in your home, you need to keep your kids busy with other things, more important things. And there's nothing wrong with having some fun. We need some rest. We need some leisure time. We need some relaxation. But you know what? We're talking about character development here. We're talking about the character of Job. Kids need to be busy. Saint of God, single adult, you need to be busy serving the Lord with this valuable time that God has given to you. This point in time, this period of time in your life is not so you can waste it on yourself. Amen. Oh, use it to serve God with all that you have. Just a precious time, very specific right now in your life that God wants to take and use you for His glory. But how much of life is lived from one fun thing to the next, planning this party to the next party? Where's the spiritual priority? Here's a thought. Next time you all get together, whoever you are, just throwing it out there. Set aside some time to talk about the Lord. Maybe instead of planning an event to get together and watch some movies, how about we plan something else? And let's go serve someone. Let's together go do something for someone that'll be a blessing. Wow, it got quiet in here. Oh, I was quiet before that. You're all Alaskans. No one says amen anyway. Amen? There's a danger in that kind of living. Why? Because it feeds the flesh. It constantly feeds and promotes me, what I want, what my flesh wants. That's the way of the world. That's the philosophy of the world. Shouldn't be of the saints of God. At any rate, it seems as though Job saw this tendency in his sons, and it grieved him. We read there how verse 5 said, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Why? For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Do you see the concern in his soul for the spiritual well-being of his children? It indicates that Job wasn't just satisfied with just providing well for his household. He did that, amen? There was nobody like him. He wasn't just satisfied with providing for his household. Listen, he was a father who was concerned about their spiritual well-being. A wise father is going to be more concerned that his children are right with the Lord, more than giving them a good time. He offered sacrifice to the Lord on their behalf. We need to be wise parents. We need to be wise fathers today. It shouldn't be enough, men, that our families are just happy and healthy and prosperous in this world or with worldly goods. Fathers, we should long intensely and spare no sacrifice for our children, for our families, to do all that we can do to see that each one is walking in the fear and the favor. Does that strike you? Does that mean anything to you? What are you doing, Father, to that end? You're setting an example. You're setting an example right now. By the way that you live, you're showing your children what is the most important thing to me. Prayerfully, hopefully, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Job lived a certain way. He had this character about him. The result of Job's character, we talked about it last week, actually. The result was that Job was a protected man. Verse 10, Satan said to God, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." The result of this kind of living was that Job was protected because of his devotion and love for the Lord, because of his godly character, his person, his family, his property. They were hedged about by the special care of God. Job put himself under the umbrella of God's protection. We remember how last week we talked about how Job was also a marked man. Verse 8 and verse 9, God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Verse 9 says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for nothing?" Job was a marked man, being a perfect and upright man. He was an object of special consideration by the Lord, but also by Satan. He was marked for the favor of the Lord, but also for the hate and envy and destruction by Satan. And we talked about how both God and the devil mark the devoted servant of the Lord. The Lord's consideration is all about usefulness, how he might use us and use our lives to bring him glory. But Satan's consideration is how he's going to kill and destroy. He wants to rob God of glory. If he can destroy your life, he can rob God of glory, the glory that God wants to get out of your life. Don't be surprised if you commit to loving the Lord and serving the Lord and walking after the Lord and obeying Bible principles. Don't be surprised if you find yourself under attack. Rejoice, rather. Every saint who loves the Lord gives himself, herself wholly to the Lord to serve the Lord with all of their heart. And they're going to find themselves under the consideration of the devil too. But Job had good character, had some real good things in his life that resulted in God's protection God's favor. And may we let the character of Job be an inspiration and encouragement for our Christian living as well. Amen? Perfect, upright, honest, hate evil, wise, following after Bible principles. That's the kind of character I want to have. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this good example. Encourage the saints of God with it today. Strengthen us from having been in the house of God today. And Lord, I pray that we'd be quick to apply. Whenever the Spirit of God speaks and reveals areas of life that need some adjusting, some work, Father, may we humbly respond and be quick to yield. Father, so that you might be glorified in our life, that we might grow. Father, that we might be complete, lacking nothing, that we might be better used of the Lord to bring glory and honor to his name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.